Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 7. The Fellowship of the Mystery, from within Him. Scriptures. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3:8-15. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-13 in the Amplified Bible says, Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition. Daniel 7:25, Daniel 8:25, 1 Timothy 4:1. Who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed, in his own appointed time. For the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and working of Satan and will be attended by great power with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders, and by unlimited seduction to evil and with all wicked deception for those who were perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it, and that they might be saved. Therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, in order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe and who refused to adhere to, trust in, rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. But we, brethren, beloved by the Lord, ought and are obligated, as those who are in debt, to give thanks always to God for you, because God chose you from the beginning as his first fruits, first converts, for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and your belief in, adherence to, trust in, and reliance on the truth. And he stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns 10 diadems, and upon its heads names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth for blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwelt on the earth shall worship him, every one whose name has not been written in the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that hath been slain. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. Revelation 13, verses 1 to 9. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that cometh up out of the abyss shall make war with them, and overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. And from among the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations do men look upon their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and suffer not their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And they that dwelt on the earth rejoice over them, and make merry. And they shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the breath of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that beheld them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And there were killed in the earthquake 7,000 persons, and the rest were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe was past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Revelation 11:7-14, American Standard Version. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision, continuing from the Heights, part 3 of the Fellowship of the Mystery Studies. Then the angel which held me, elevated in the atmosphere, took me up even higher above the tower which had now collapsed. I saw that as the tower had collapsed, the principality and powers and spirits of wickedness that once enveloped the tower were still present in the atmosphere where the tower once stood. But these powers of wickedness and deceit still continued to hold the masses of mankind in their power and to deceive even the very elect of the Lord who were still anchored to the earth. I saw that as mankind was held to this power, that mankind formed as it were a beast having 10 horns and 7 heads, which I saw to be the world dominion outside the kingdom and grace of our Lord. This worldly beast arose with ferocity up into the atmosphere where the tower once stood. I cringed when I saw the beast arise, and the angel which held me said, What would ye? I replied, I am afraid of the beast, and that my feet would become entangled in his rising. The angel held me fast and bid me turn my head upwards towards the heavens. Then saw I the answer. For riding upon a beautiful white horse came the Lord Jesus Christ, with the army of the Lord upon white horses, riding behind him. He descended to where the beast had filled the atmosphere over the entire earth, and the beast was destroyed, even by the light of his glory, as the living Christ descended as the captain of the Lord's hosts. The beast that held itself over all mankind was destroyed by the brightness of the coming of Jesus, and the beast was no more. Mankind then was free to see the glory of Jesus and of his appearing, and they had no more fear over being held captive by that which was once the carnal enmity against the Lord and his kingdom. I saw this as though it were happening in real time, and my heart was very glad. End vision. Second vision. Please look up the scriptural references. The Lord Jesus Christ stood upon the earth. Job 19:27. And from within his very heart, pouring forth unto his overcomers, was the fellowship of the mystery. That he is this fellowship, he is a mystery in our understanding. Only until we submit to his lordship does the mystery portion become clear. From within Jesus, flowing out in an unlimited supply, was this fellowship. Those that overcame saw no mystery, for it was made plain and was written upon the fleshly tables of the heart. 2 Corinthians 3:3. End second vision, end visions. As the Lord in full regalia of his personage and of his ascended glory, even in the exaltation of his very person at the right hand of God, stands before the company of sons and daughters, even from within his very person, flows forth unmeasured the fellowship of the mystery. He is the one we are being drawn to, and he is the one who cleanses from us all the filth of the flesh and spirit. It is from him that we learn the true doctrine, that mankind is not one spirit with the Lord, but that mankind's spirit is just as unclean and unholy as any other spirit in the world of fallen spirits. It is in his drawing power that we become joined to him, one with him, and as we are cleansed, we gain more and more that unity of spirit with the Lord that we desire. All ungodliness and iniquity in the company of overcomers is dealt with day by day by day by the Lord who draws us unto himself. All ungodliness and iniquity in us is repented of and cleansed away by an act of our volition, by the choice to be as he was and is in this present evil world. The overcomer does not comply with those who teach that Jesus is now in every person in the world in seed form, nor does the overcomer declare that there is nothing left to walk out or work out in their own salvation when it comes to the salvation Christ wrought for us. The further along the overcomer travels, the more things they realize they have to repent of. The more they repent of, the more deeper the fellowship of the mystery and of their spiritual unity with the Lord's Spirit. We are in a perilous time. This is a time when man has relegated the Lord to comply with their base human emotion. A time when men are cognizant of a Lord in their lives and they give glory to him, except that in nearly every instance, the Lord they are giving glory to is not the true Lord, but is that deluded one, that one who expertly imitates the true. We live in a time when the Antichrist spirit of Jesus is standing alongside the true spirit of Jesus, and mankind is failing to discern the difference. Because of this massive delusion, we have humanistic celebrities swaying the masses to choose out of the volition of the human will, even the unregenerated will, to do that which they think is correct. Everything man is doing in this hour is in error, at least 99.9% of what mankind is choosing to do. Every consequence of modern technology and modern liberty is causing the earth to perish in pollution and men to be trampled upon as stronger ones ride over them to gain the higher place in the pyramid. Instead of men being selfless, they have become selfish, and that selfishness is the peril I speak of. 2 Timothy 3:1-9 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Out of all of this stands the lowly overcomer, set aside by the hand of the Lord, and first open to all the fury of his judgments. The overcomer endures in their lifetime the entire onslaught of everything that would oppose the person of Jesus. Outside of their lives is the power resident in mankind in the form of the wild beast or the tame beast, both which remove from mankind any semblance of pure thought and order and of rectitude in their daily lives. Given over to every foul and unclean passion, mankind persecutes the overcomer for being shut away in the closet, left outside the riotous lifestyle and freedom for all attitude. Also within the very heart of the overcomer is every kind of vile deceit and iniquity known to man also. Every kind of defamation is present in their very own heart. Right in the core of their being is the powerful temptation to deny Christ, to live after the dictates of the flesh, which enslaves men at a whim with no thought of the fear of the Lord. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." Jeremiah 17, verses 7 to 10. So from without and from within, the overcomer stands persecuted, wrought with fears, and feeling very much alone. But then that unity of the Spirit begins. The Lord rises in them in a joining, and they configure their lives into his will by learned obedience. Daily, the overcomer travels down the path of this learned obedience through the denial of all that is contrary to the kingdom of the Lord in their lives, doing so before a world which states emphatically that a person is free to live as they want and do as they want. But the overcomer is constrained, restricted, shut up unto the will of the Lord, not freely free inwardly or outwardly in relation to their walk and their talk. They enjoy the presence of the Lord, but at the same time, their lives are restricted to this obedience and accompanying tribulation to allow the separation of flesh from spirit within their very lives. These come through tempest and storm, physical and spiritual assaults, calamities of every sort and temper. A ruse of loaded weaponry is aimed against them in a continuance. The assaults become most daunting. Seeking to be peaceable and quiet, they end up in the shout of war. Such is the lot of the overcomer who decides to obey the Lord and come clean in their lives. Such is the lot of the overcomer who decides to cleanse themselves of all sin and iniquity in their walk and in their outward manifestations. Such is the lot of the overcomer who chooses to do all of this without any religious effort on their part whatsoever, but becoming real people, they endure the sufferings that accompany the denial of self. The fellowship of the mystery can only be found in the life sold out to the will of the Lord. Let me repeat that. The fellowship of the mystery can only be found in the life sold out to the will of the Lord. The person who has sold themselves out for this will to be manifested in their lives finds themselves in the throes of dying daily and of daily cross-bearing. How hard it seems in this day to continually hear that the cross must work its whole effect upon one's life, but know that the cross today is for the most part denied. The easy path of less resistance is the accepted norm, and from such the overcomer has no part. In the daily grind, day in and day out, their personal cross is borne. It is in this that the mystery becomes clarity, and in time becomes a mystery no more. For the life sold out in such a manner to the inworkings of Calvary upon the soul finds two distinct things begins in their lives. First, they actually begin to fellowship with the person of Jesus, even in the height of his glory, in what is termed the fellowship of sufferings. Then next, they also come into a communion and fellowship with Jesus that holds no mystery, for it becomes an open book before them, a text expressed in a life outpoured, but then raised in newness of life. Both work together, both flow forth from the Christ within to the body of Christ without. This mystery was hid in God, expressed in Christ, and passed on to they that overcome. That all things will find their end in the person of Jesus. Everything created, filled up to the sum with the life of the Lamb of God, finds that the victory is secure. Triumph is evident, and that all that the carnal nature, natural mind cannot fathom, will be fully verbalized in the person of our Lord in this age that is dawning. Do you, dear reader of these pages, find your life set apart and secluded? Are you suffering alone in the solitude in the closet of prayer? Do you willingly deny yourself daily and take up your cross to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes? Do you lack any fortitude to take part in the celebrations around you that comply with the traditions and the customs of the world? If so, you are indeed a candidate to have this mystery revealed, even in your very soul, as an epistle read of many men. Your life, as part of the Lord's body in the earth, will become a conviction to others, a disdainful sight in the sight of men, one hated and despised because your meek temperament in the Lord convinces all others of their ungodly works. Upon you is scribed the fellowship that comes by the revelation of this mystery, that Christ is the consummator of all things, and that in him everything in the end of all things will consist. Nothing else will dawn outside his kingdom, and all that is outside of it will now be brought into subjection into it, there to worship the Lord alone in absolute holiness. For the Lord Jesus Christ will make all mankind holy. Therefore, all mankind will first be judged to have ungodliness removed from them. Let me repeat that. Upon you is scribed the fellowship that comes by the revelation of this mystery, that Christ is the consummator of all things, and that in him everything in the end of all things will consist. Nothing else will dawn outside his kingdom, and all that is outside of it now will be brought into subjection into it, there to worship the Lord alone in absolute holiness. For the Lord Jesus Christ will make all mankind holy. The Lord Jesus Christ will make all mankind holy. Therefore, all mankind will first be judged to have ungodliness removed from them. This will be a practical outworking through the lives of those who endured it first and were found as the overcoming class of people. The wisdom of God is the fruit of this mystery, infinite wisdom, both in dealings nationally and individually. All men will be subjected to this wisdom, and no one will be plied upon by any other thing outside of it. Anything that causes men to be in any state outside of the perfect will of God will be brought back into that will, each man in his own order, until God becomes all in all. For that is the full fellowship that comes when this mystery is a mystery no more. Men who are ungodly at this present time will be presented with personal loss for their love for this world and the things in it, and that loss will be replaced with repentance in due time, which repentance is the avenue for full deliverance and healing. No one is exempt from this working, and no one will fall short of it. Today, rise and bless the Lord with your lips. Bless him who created the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Praise him upon harps and 10-stringed instruments. Praise him not just for his benefit to all men everywhere in this mystery, but for the fact that he has handpicked you, the reader, to first come through this testing and into the full revelation of his glory. Speak this out by the Spirit, and you will gain the understanding needed to carry this wisdom forward into the glorification process. The Lord is about to arise upon the overcoming company. Even those who lost all hope that they would ever perchance see the Lord move again in their life. Move he will, and it is even beginning now at this present time. Know it, for it is happening to you. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.